Isaiah 61, look at, we'll start reading in verse 1, and it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." That, he just gave you a very comprehensive list. Now he's come up to this, that, or you could say, so that. Here's the reason for the anointing. So that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. That, or again, so that he may be glorified. Who gets glorified? Who gets glorified? If you become trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, who gets the glory? God gets the glory. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, is the planting of the Lord. We need to be the planting of the Lord. The word planting in the Hebrew there is a very interesting word, and it means something planted. That is a garden or vineyard or the thing that's being planted. So it's both. It's the garden and it's the trees that go in the garden. Interesting. If you chase the root of that word, if you trace it all the way back, it means to strike in. Think about it. When you go to plant a shrub or a tree or something like that, what do? You take out a shovel and you strike that ground. You break that ground open to put that tree in. So that's what this is talking about. It's talking about striking the ground, planting. And it's not us planting, it's God planting. It's the planting of the Lord. In fact, that's how I really want to say the title, the planting of the Lord. I want to say it like that. Because some people, they just pick and choose and shop for where God wants them to be based on how they feel about it. Well, that's not good. How many of you know that our feelings are deceptive sometimes? We're not going to get it right all the time. But there is a supply where God plants you. There'll be a supply. There's a specific supply from the nutrients of that soil that he wants you to get. That's awesome. And this is how we bring God glory. How many of you want God to get some glory? Amen. So it's both the garden and the trees. I want you to go over to 1 Corinthians 12. And an example of that, while you're turning there, is in Genesis chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." That's talking about Adam. So what did he do? He planted a garden, and then he planted the man in the garden. So he not only created the space or the soil, but then he struck the ground, so to speak, and planted the man in the garden. So you see how both apply? Now, we're going to look at a couple of keys for being the planting of the Lord. The first one is to be where God has placed you. One amen, two amens. All right, good. Praise God. Be where God has placed you. That's important. 1 Corinthians 12, look at verse 18. It says, "But now God has set the members, each one of them." I love the fact that he stuck those four words in there. Each one of them. It would have been enough for him to just say, "Now God has set the members in the body just as he pleased." He could have said it that way. But he adds an extra emphasis. Each one of them. Every single, without exclusion, every single member, he has a specific garden for you to be planted in. And it's as he pleases. It's the planting of the Lord. You get it. Okay, I didn't do any of that first service. Julie asked me if she could share something right about here. So,
well, in first service, when you began to talk about this, this is what began to kind of stir in my heart. Now, those of you who garden, those of you who are doing things like this, you're totally going to get it. And that is, there are zones, growing zones. And so Florida has its own zone. And it is much different than Tennessee or Michigan or in other parts. And so there's a specific soil that is in those regions, and there are specific plants that they can only thrive and grow to their full potential when they're in the right zone, they're in the right soil. There are certain things that can grow in clay that when you have the things that grow in the sandy soil, they would die because they can't survive in that kind of environment. But when you get your roots down in the right soil, that's when you begin to flourish. You can reach your absolute full potential. All of the flowers that I want to grow here in Florida, it's the wrong zone. There is no way. I can try.
I have tried.
Using my faith, oh, Jesus, please grow. And nothing ever happens. It can't. And it, like when I think of the bulbs that I had up there, I had to leave them because it doesn't get cold enough for the bulbs here. And so they'll never, ever reach their full potential. And so I just wanted to share this with you to encourage you that there is a reason why God has you where he puts you, is because you have certain gifts. There's certain things on the inside of each one of us. And if we're in the right place, then we can begin to grow and bloom.
Amen. Well, that was good. Praise God. No, that was excellent because it really does matter. In fact, our friends came from Tennessee a couple weeks ago. 2 years before that, they tried to take this specific palm tree back to Tennessee, which you don't see anywhere in Tennessee. And what happened? It didn't make it. So that's a really, really good point. Now, when I first got this revelation, we taught a series called Redemptive Gifts. And this was a component of Redemptive Gifts. Out by my house, right up on, it's on Highway 19, north of 50, right there in Groveland, there's this big farm called Cherry Lake Tree Farms. There's all these trees, and it's huge. This thing is massive, and it's right where these hills are rolling, and it seems like it takes you 5 minutes to drive past it at 55 miles an hour. So I don't even know how big that is. It's huge. When I got this revelation, the one thing I noticed is that every single tree is in some kind of pot, some kind of container. These bigger trees, you know, we're going to call those pots, even though that really is like a big crate. But you understand, there's a pot there. The reason that they're in the pot is because they are not where they're going to stay. This is where they're being cared for until they are purchased and placed, the ground struck, to the place where they're going to live permanently. What I saw is that in churches, and this was even happening in our church at that time, there were people, the Lord shipped the trees in, but they never got out of their pot. They just stayed in their pot. And the reason they stayed in their pot is somebody might look at me wrong, somebody may say something, and I get offended and I'm out the door. They want to stay mobile. They want to leave a backdoor option. They don't want to commit. The Lord wants you planted. Why? Because you can't enjoy the nutrients from that soil until you're in the soil. Amen. And in fact, in this condition right here, those trees are completely subject to the care that Cherry Lake Tree Farms give to them. They have to water them. They have to bring them nutrients. In fact, when you search their website, that was the thing that kind of jumped out at me. They have a whole page on their care for the root system, because people will go and buy a tree based on what it looks like. Wow, that's awesome. But the roots may be junk. It might look good now, but you get it in the ground and poof, it starts to look bad pretty quick. And so you need healthy roots. And that's what they talk about, is their care for the root system. But notice every one of those are staked. Why are they staked? They can't even hold their own weight when a Hurricane Matthew skirts by. Are you with me? Would blow them over. So a key to being the planting of the Lord is say no to pot. Say no to pot. You're not going to grow until you can get your roots in the soil. And you're a burden in the pot, because we got to feed, and you're not able to support yourself. You're not able to draw your own nutrients from the ground. And God's got the supply right there under your pot. Get out of the pot. Okay, sorry. He's getting really animated this morning. Go over to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. It's just so true. This is in the Word. The anointing is so that we can be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Psalm chapter 1, look at verse 1. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a what? A tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." There's a couple ways to look at this. A person is blessed. They're empowered to succeed when they don't take the counsel or the way of the world into them to make decisions. They're going to trust God's method of doing it. When we surrender and we trust God, guess what? At whatever we put our hand to, our leaves don't wither. Isn't that good? Go over to Jeremiah 17. Thank you, Lord. Jeremiah 17, look at verse 7, and it says, "Blessed is the man." That's the way Psalm 1 started off. Isn't that amazing? "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord." So again, this is all predicated on us trusting God, being in fellowship with the Lord. That's where the real supply is coming from. Amen? "For," or you could say, "because he shall be like a what? Tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought." How many of you know there's going to be dry times? Anybody ever have dry times in God? I mean, there's times when we've got goosebumps double parked. God's hit the revelation button. That's a blast. But that's not every day. There's days when we're not inspired. But I've made a commitment. And I'm still drawing nutrients, whether I feel hoony puckers or not. Are you with me? "And will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit." Man, that's huge. Nor will cease. You will bear fruit continually, even when it's summer, heat, and dry. Why? You're not getting your supply externally. You're getting your supply from underneath. The river's feeding you. Glory to God. Sounds like Brookside. You're by the brook. See, you're getting some nutrients. Glory to God. The New Living Translation for verse 8 says, "They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit." Man, that's awesome. Never stop producing fruit. I want you to go over to John chapter 15. John 15. And we'll start reading in verse 1. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit." Now, I've heard ministers minister from verse 2. They'll say, in God, you're either getting cut on or cut off. Either way, God's got his chainsaw out. God's not a chainsaw. Anybody heard that kind of stuff? I struggled with that. I thought, well, wait a minute. If somebody's not bearing fruit, God's going to take them away? And if you're bearing fruit, he's going to... Well, here's the deal. We have crepe myrtle, a big tree in our backyard, and it had all these little, Julie calls them sucker limbs, and it's these low limbs. And she went out one time and just started cutting all of that stuff off. And this year, after her doing that, the bloom in that thing just exploded. I mean, it's bloomed every year, but it was dwarfed. So what are we doing? We're taking away the things that have the potential to take the nutrients from us bearing fruit. But what about these that are not bearing fruit, being taken away? That sounds kind of harsh, doesn't it? Anybody else? Okay. Well, are you ready for this? Are you ready for what it means? Are you ready? Okay. Come on, Jesus. Here it is. The word takes away in the Greek means to lift up, by implication, to take up or to raise. To raise. And in Rick Renner's book, Sparkling Gems, it says to deliberately lift or to deliberately take up. So we're talking about lifting. Here's the deal. North of town on Highway 27, there's a winery. And so they have a vineyard out there. And whenever you have grapevines, it's a vine. It has to have some kind of structure to grow on. When it's in the wild, it finds a tree or a shrub, and it just grows like any other vine. It grows over some other kind of structure. But if you have it, let's say, on your back porch, what would you do? You would put up maybe a lattice, and you would let that vine grow along that lattice. Well, what happens sometimes is a limb can come loose. When it comes loose, it's hanging down. When it's hanging down, it won't bear fruit. It's not getting the right kind of light. It's aimed the wrong direction for the nutrients to get to it. So what do? We lift it, raise it up intentionally, deliberately lift it up and reattach it so that it can bear fruit. I'm not talking about throwing you away at all. Putting you in a position to bear fruit continually. Never stop bearing fruit. Glory to God, I got help. Thank you, Jesus. The third key that we're going to look at is help grow the body. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Help grow the body. Ephesians chapter 4, let's start reading in verse 11. And he himself, talking about Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. This is to build. When you say edify, that's another word for build, building of the body of Christ. Now, the fivefold ministry gifts, their function, my function as a pastor, teacher, is to equip the saints. All of us are saints. You're coming here to get your gardening tools. See, today I'm passing out shovels so you can strike the ground. See, are you with me? So that's what I'm doing. That's my job. The real ministry, it says, for the work of ministry. Who does the work of ministry? The ones that are being equipped. See, we're coming here to get equipment. A backhoe, an auger, right? Why? Because we're building the body. We want more trees in the garden of God, right? Don't we? The planting of the Lord, trees of righteousness. A lot of trees out there, but right now they're fruitless. So you come in to get equipped. That's what church is all about. This isn't the work of ministry. A lot of people look at pastors and teachers and others on the list there like, I wish I were in the ministry. You are. Read 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. All of us are in that ministry. What are we doing? We are letting people know that God has reconciled you to himself. Now you be reconciled to God. That's called the word of reconciliation. That's the ministry that we're in, right? We're supposed to be making disciples. He says, go into all the world and make disciples. Don't try to get people just to come to your church. You come to church to get discipled, but that's where you come to get equipment. We are to go into all the world. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Then you skip down to verse 16, and it says, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Say every. According to the effective working by which every part does its share. You have a part. You have a share to contribute. Causes growth of the body. What are we talking about? The key is to grow the body, right? To help the body grow. This is one of the ways that helps you grow is you helping somebody else. Man, it's massive. What I'm telling you is huge. It's a big deal. It's so close to the heart of God. And it says, for the edifying of itself, that's building up in love. Love is very important. We'll see that again as we go through this thing. But every part does its share. So the question I want to ask you is, what is my share? I want you to go over to Galatians chapter 6. What is my share? Now, as we related it to those redemptive gifts, all the gifts that we have assembled are different. Gifts differing according to the grace that is given, Romans 12 talks about. So there's a lot of different gifts in here. When you discover what your redemptive gifts are, you should be in the body of Christ functioning in those gifts. And they're all unique. All of them are unique. There's seven that are listed, but you're a unique combination of those gifts. And we need all those gifts functioning. So I'm not going to sit here and try to label every single gift, but there's one thing that we all have in common that is our share in growing the body. Are you interested? Yes. Every one of us have this in common. Galatians chapter 6, look at verse 1. It says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens. There it is. All of us have a responsibility to the other trees in the garden, the other body parts, to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Did you see that? And this is also talking about our attitude when someone is overtaken in a trespass. I know when I would read that, my mind would typically think of great moral failure. Maybe they've committed adultery or something like that. You know, we think, okay, we've got to go restore the... This tells us the attitude that we're to do it in. And that is meekness. We are to do it in humility, considering ourselves. But for the grace of God, there go I, right? None of us are righteous within ourselves. It's the righteousness of Christ that we're in. Are you with me? And so our job is to restore people. And when we restore people, not only are we restoring them, but we need to bear their burdens. I would venture to say the percentage is pretty low within the body of Christ of people that are actually interested in doing that. They have their own burdens, and it's all I can do to manage these. But this is God's commandment to fulfill the law of Christ. We're not under the law. Well, there is that law. It's a spiritual law that we're interested in fulfilling. Okay? And we want to be blessed. And this is near God's heart. Now, this is how I got this revelation. This is Highway 50 between Groveland and Claremont. There's out there, there's a wetlands. It's before you get to Publix and all that. So we're driving by there. It's a place we go a lot. And I noticed they were putting these new trees in. And so as we're driving along, Julie didn't know what was wrong with me. I'm like handing her my phone. Get pictures of those trees. Get pictures of these trees. Because I got a revelation. What I noticed, these are trees that used to be on a farm that are being planted. The ground has been struck. They've got big equipment out there drilling these big holes, augers and what have you. I mean, they are breaking the ground. They're striking the ground, and they're putting them in. And then I notice something. Notice every one of those trees, those are crepe myrtle. Every one of those have stakes, supports. We have a responsibility. This is what your share is. When a tree comes into the body, we have a responsibility to support them until their roots are established. Because until their roots are established, they're still vulnerable to the wind, the unseen forces, just like they are when they're in a pot. But now they're taking the nutrients, they're getting the nutrients, but there's a season that requires us to surround that tree and support that tree, protect that tree from falling so that its roots can sink into the river. Are you with me? Isn't that powerful? And think about a transplant in a physical body, like a kidney or whatever organ you want to come up with. What is the number one concern of the medical community when they do a transplant? That the body rejects the new organ. You know that happens in churches. I'm telling you, it happens. Now, we're blessed here. Glory to God. People, it's amazing. People tell me over and over and over how wonderful and warm and friendly. Well, you know, we didn't mandate that. You know, we didn't say, okay, now you can't come here unless you can. You're going to be nice to people, aren't you, Teresa? You're going to be nice. You're a greeter. You got to be nice. You're going to be mean. Now, we don't mandate that. It's just the DNA of our soil. It's who we are. And it's amazing. And when people sink their roots into this, guess what? They pick up that nutrients. They pick up that DNA within this body. In fact, when you talk about transplants, they call it graft versus host. See, we've been grafted in. Every one of us were grafted in to the olive tree. Romans 11, that's something I left out. We'll talk about it next week. Some branches were cut off and some were struck in. That's us. And we enjoy all the sap that comes from the olive tree. That's covenant. That's covenant talk. That's what we're talking about. There's a supply of God that comes because of that. So we all have a responsibility equal to bear one another's burdens, to be concerned about the burdens that are going on within the body, other body parts. Well, that's powerful. I'll tell you, God's close to this. Now, in closing, I want you to go over to Colossians chapter 3. Thank you, Jesus. Colossians chapter 3. We'll start reading in verse 12, and it says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another." There it is again. Did you see that? Now, the other one, we're bearing one another's burdens. When we intercede for somebody, what are we doing? We're putting ourselves in their shoes. We're praying as if their situation is ours. Now, we're talking about bearing with one another. We do have a responsibility to shoulder the load with them, right? To partner with them in their burden. But also, when you've got body parts, a lot of body parts in proximity, you have the potential for friction. It's true. And love is the viscosity. It's the oil. Think of your engine in your car. Drain that oil out of it and see how long it works. And when it's done, it's done. It will seize. You'll never use it again. See, it can't handle that much friction and that much heat. And so love is the oil that allows us to bear with one another. And this is something we put on. Did you hear me? People say, well, I'm not a put on. He said, put it on. Put it on. It's like this coat. I put this coat on today, right? Why did I do that? Because I wanted to wear it, see? Without putting it on, that means deliberate, being deliberate in this thing, you're left with you and your flesh. A lot of this sounds like fruit of the Spirit. Now, we don't produce the fruit. That's Him producing in us, but we have to allow it to get to the front. If somebody rubs you the wrong way, we're talking about body parts rubbing the wrong way. If somebody rubs you the wrong way, you have an option. Your flesh has a response, and your spirit has a response. And in your soul, you choose what you're going to side with. And I don't know about you, but my flesh is pretty fast to the door. And I have to wait on the Lord and let Him strengthen my heart, right? Wait on the Spirit, but my flesh is there really quick. Anybody else? Okay, that's what we're talking about. When we talk about putting it on, we're not talking about being fake. We're talking about allowing the production of God in us to come out of us. Don't get in the way of it. Isn't that powerful? It says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, look at this. Above everything we just said, forgiveness, putting on meekness, humility, all these things. But above all these things, put on love. Now, is he talking about you being fake? Act like you love them. How many people? I see through that pretty quick. Most people do. Are you with me? Hi, how are you doing this morning? Yeah, blessed. All right. You know, they know. He's not talking about being fake. He's talking about wearing the love of God outside of yourself, which is the bond of perfection. God wants our relationships bonded together. And it's love that does that. It's the most important ingredient in everything that we talked about. So, say no to pot. Be where God's placed you. Get out of the pot once you get there. I'm telling you, people come in, they just, I'm staying right here. Got to keep my options open. Keep the back door open. Because somebody's going to say something. You know, if you're looking for the perfect church, it doesn't exist. There's the perfect church for you, which is where God sends you. But if you're looking for perfection, you can't go. You will mess it up. There's no such thing. And not on this side of glory is there a perfect church. Are you with me? But you need to be where God plants you. Be where He plants you. Get out of the pot. Why? Because there's a supply of the Spirit that He wants you to glean. And when you're there, do your part. Help to grow that body. Amen. Did you get anything out of that? I'll stop.